Could you tell me your name, your address and date of birth, please?
My name is Anita Rebecca Jeffrey, previously Morris, and my age is coming up to 75. Is that what you wanted?
Date of birth?
Date of birth. I was born in 5th of June, 1939.
Great, thank you. So tell me a little bit then about your background, your parents, your mum, your dad, what they did for a living, and your siblings, if you have any.
My mum, she got married at a very early age because she was pregnant with me at the age of 17, actually. And she previously worked in the Arsenal in Bridgend. A very boring job, painting the things on bombs. And my father worked in the mines. My siblings, my children?
No.
My sister, my brother?
Yeah.
I have, I had a sister 4 years younger than myself and a brother who was 6 years younger than myself. My sister's gone now, but my brother's still alive. And we were all brought up in the Rhondda. It was hard at the time. And we, you know, and my mother was struggling, so it's keeping the three of us, you know, and no home, no permanent home, because we were living with my grandparents or in rooms, which was then, you know, most people did. It wasn't a flat, it was one room, you know.
So where were you brought up? Which part of the Rhondda?
Tonpentra, and then later in Ystrad Rhondda. That was Sandy Bank. There were prefabs later on. We had a prefab, and we were so we thought it was wonderful. You know, we were so lucky to have this prefab, and we had two bedrooms. What do you think of that? Wonderful, and a cooker and a fridge, because they were Americanized, weren't they? The prefabs. So we thought it was absolutely wonderful. You know.
So, tell me about your education then, where you went to school.
Well, I went to several schools because, as I said, we didn't have a permanent address. We went to Tonpentra Primary, and then I went to Brodrynallt, which was in Ystrad, and then my last school of all was in Trialo in Tonopandy, and I left there at the age of 15.
Was that
a higher education then, you know?
Yes.
Like comprehensive, really.
Yeah.
With no qualifications. I didn't have any. I didn't like school. I hated it.
So were you sorry to leave at 15?
No, glad. Glad to get out, yeah. Yes.
Can I just ask why you didn't have a permit? Why did you move around so much?
Well, as it happened, we couldn't get anywhere for a start. My father was always in and out of work, and he was not a very good provider then, put it that way. He drank a lot, and he never could keep a job down, so we never had a permanent, you know, place to live. Even at one point, we squatted in some shop, and the police turfed us out. You know, I can remember that. That was quite painful, really, because I, being the oldest, remembered what it was like. You know, my brother and sister didn't know. But it was quite an ordeal, really. And then I think after that, they gave us the prefab, you know. So that was our sort of permanent address then.
Yeah. Well, hard going then.
Mm, yeah.
Can I ask you then, you left school at 15. What did you do then?
I went straight into a factory. Polycoffs in Treorchy was a big manufacturer of clothing for catalogues and clothes abroad. And they used to have big contracts on different armies and RAF things. And I went in there as a trainee. And I was there for quite a while after.
Do you remember how you got the job?
I went to the personnel officer in Polycroft's, and her name was Mrs. Farmer. And she gave me an interview, and she said, we'll give you a trial. And it just took from there. And I went onto the shop floor then, onto the factory floor.
How did you know about Polycuffs?
I think it was lots of the girls that I knew, you know, in school, and it was dances, you know, we used to go to dances then quite a lot, and, try Polycuffs, it's great there, you know, and so that's what I did.
So did you know many people when you got there then?
Quite a few, but we weren't all working together, as, you know, it was all over the factory, you know, really. It wasn't in just us like, together, you know. But, it was good.
So they trained you, you said.
Mm.
What were you trained to do, and how long did it take?
I think I had about 2 weeks training, which they just give you pieces of material to practice on and, you know, see how you go. And after that, then I was put onto the machine, and it was piecework then from there on. I think we were getting something like threepence, three farthings for every so many garments that we sewed. Threepence, three farthings. Then that was our extra. That was on top of our basic wage, you know.
Okay, I'd ask you about that in a minute. I was just going to say, what did they ask you in the interview? What did you have to do in the interview?
Why I wanted to go and work in the factory, and just personal things, really, you know, how I was, and everything was okay, you know. It's I really wanted to be in work, and it just went from there. I think jobs were easier to come by then, you know, and I just walked into it, really.
So after this training, then you went on the factory floor. Can you, before we go there, can you remember the first day you went to Polyakovs and what it was like, you know? Can you describe the factory to me, or, you know?
Well, first of all, this was a bus I had to catch to get there, and the gates were quite big. There were big double gates on the outside, and then I got off the bus and walked through the gates, and I had to find the personnel department. And just, of course, it was where the offices were. I was nervous. I was quite nervous. And but I knew I had to do it. And I think I felt quite confident that, you know, I was going to get a job. And when I knocked on her door and I said, you know, my name is Anita Morris then, and I would like to start a job here. And so she just called me in and sat me down, and she made me feel quite comfortable. Although she was quite an assertive lady, you know, she was quite, I was a bit frightened of her, really, you know. I was only 15. But she said, yes, okay, we'll give you a start, you know, and that was that. So I walked out of there feeling quite confident.
Tell me what the factory floor was like then.
Oh, big, very big. There was... Oh, an awful lot of girls there. It was hundreds. And it was conveyor belt. A lot of it was conveyor belt. Work that you know, and rows and rows, rows of machinists. And then you had the cutting department, which was all men. They were all men in the cutting department. The pressers. But we had the main aisle go right through the middle of the factory. And that's where the manager used to walk through every morning. And everybody was alert when he came into the factory, you know. And he had his office right in the middle of the factory floor. So he could keep an eye on us all. but it was quite good. We had a small space to work in. You know, it was just, I would say, you know, I could touch the person next to me, really, you know. But it was okay.
What about the sounds in there?
Oh, it was, yes. Machines going all day, yes.
Was it very noisy?
Very, yes. But at that time, it didn't seem to bother me, because we had the radio going all day.
As well, yeah.
Yeah, that was on all of the time, you know. So that was background.
So tell me then, so you started work, and what did you do?
My first job... My first job was making men's flies for trousers. And I thought it was quite funny, actually, because first time I'd ever handled a men's flies. But that was my very first job.
So can you explain what you had to do then?
Well, I made the fly, and then we had to turn it into inside out and then press it. And then it went on to the button machine then, buttonhole machine. No zips. It was just buttonholes. And then we'd pass it on then to the next person and they would put it go into the trousers then.
And how long did you stay doing that then?
Oh, it must have been about nearly a year, I should imagine, yes, yes.
The same job every day?
That same job, I know.
Do you remember, you were talking about piecework now, but do you remember what your basic wage was when you started?
Roughly, I can only roughly remember it because I haven't got a payslip, but I think it was something about £3, if it was £3 odd. And then we had this bonus on top, you know. But it was roughly about there, I should imagine. It wasn't a lot, I know. Then it went up as the time went on, of course.
And what year are we talking about here then?
About 1954.
Right.
Yes, so, 1954.
So how did that feel, you know, for us to... how did that feel in those days, £3 a week plus bonus? Was that a good wage or was it...
I think it was pretty average, I mean, for my age. Because, I mean, as you got older, you got more money, obviously. And then out of that, I used to have to pay my way, my lodgings. And the rest then was mine. And it went a long way in those days, didn't it?
Did you still live at home?
Yes.
So how did you give the money
yes.
to your mum?
Yes, it was. I lived with my aunt then because I passed on to my aunt, and I used to give her lodge money, yes, which was something like about £1, £1.50 a week, and the rest then was of my money was mine.
So, how did you get to work in the morning? You said.
On the bus.
Yeah, and what time did you have to leave home and when did you have to be there and everything?
Well, we started at 8 o'clock in the morning, so I had to catch the 7:30 bus. And if you miss...
From where now? From Tom Pendleton?
No, this is from Triallo now. I was living in Triallo by this time. And, yes, it was 7:30 in the morning to get to work by 8 o'clock. And you had to clock in then, of course, to make sure that you clocked in on time, you know?
And how long was the working day?
8 hours, and with an hour for dinner.
So when did you clock out?
It was 6 o'clock. Yeah, 6, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 6. Yes.
Right.
Yes, it is. But we had an hour for dinner, right. And we used to have 20 minutes in the morning for breakfast or tea break, and 20 minutes in the afternoon.
And did you used to... Was it a canteen there?
Yes, a big canteen. Very big.
Mm. Did you used to go to the canteen for your breaks or did you stay on the floor?
No, I went to the canteen for my breaks. And well, I think most of us did, really. We were glad to have the break, you know.
Yeah.
And we had good food. It was really good food for our play. It was well, you know, organised.
Did you know lots of the people who were working there already when you went to work there? You mentioned some girls from school.
Yes, a few, yes. But not all stayed. They went on to do other things from there, you know. But I stayed.
Yes. And so at the time, what did the factory make mostly at the time when you were there?
We made suits, men's suits. They did bedding. They had a bedding department as well, which made quilts, feather quilts, and things like that. But I was mostly on the men's side. I was making with Burberry's blazers, men's blazers, as I say, complete suits, and that was my permanent job.
And when you started there, how did you feel about working there? Was it a good feeling to be working there?
Yes, I think so. Yes, it was, really.
How did other people view factory work in those days, those who didn't work in factories? Was it a respected occupation, let's put it like that?
I think, well, there was a bit of a stigma, I think, because they say, well, she works in a factory, you know? And so, but, you know, I never found it any problem. But I think there was a little bit of stigma saying, oh, you know, oh, she's a factory worker, you know, and it didn't go down well. But, you know, there were such a lot of people working in the factories then. I don't see why there was a stigma really attached to it. But I would have loved to have been a secretary, right? but I never made that.
Yes. No, I'm just wondering because, like you say, there were so many people working in factories. Why there was any stigma anyway, you know?
I think it's a bit of snobbery, really, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people who were in higher jobs thought that because we were a factory, we were just... You're just a factory worker, you know?
Yeah.
But we weren't, because I thought it was a job of importance, so... And it was an honest wage, so...
Certainly.
Yeah, we worked for it.
Mm. So, did you enjoy the work? What did you enjoy and what didn't you enjoy?
I never complained. I think I enjoyed it. Because, of course, they give you a goal, which you did. You knew you had to make you had to produce that much then, put it that way. And, you know, you got on with it. And that was it, really. You just got on with it. And if you got in front of yourself, which your work progressed, then you could take an earlier break. You could nip upstairs and have a cigarette. Which we often did.
Yes. Where did people smoke then in the factory?
It was, they had a whole lot of ladies' toilets and gents the other side, the whole length of the factory and upstairs from the factory floor. And that's where everybody used to go. Yes. The men and the women used to, different departments, and used to go upstairs for a cigarette.
You couldn't smoke on the floor?
Oh, no, not then.
What about the canteen? Could you smoke?
Smoke in the canteen, yes. Yes, no problem, yes.
Right. So you did these flies for a year.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do then?
I went on to do sleeves then, put in pads, in the shoulder pads, and that was a promotion, really. And because I worked on a bigger machine, it was called a Pfaff machine then. It came from Germany, this machine. And I was told it was a very special machine, whatever. And so I was promoted to doing the sleeves. And I stayed on that job then till I left, really. I didn't mind it. It was quite, you know, I got quite good at it in the end. And the longer you're at it, the better you get, isn't it? Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good. But I used to handle the whole jacket then, the whole thing, you know.
And were they still men's jackets?
Yes, they were still men's jackets then.
So, you said you were promoted. Did this mean more money?
Yes, they had more money then as well.
Do you remember how much you had?
I think my wages went up to £6 eventually, yes. Which was quite a lot, really, you know, just good. And I could save a bit then to get married, you know. So, yeah, that was okay.
And can you describe the Pfaff machine? Because I've heard about these Pfaff machines.
Well, it was quite a tall machine, and it had when the needle came down onto the underneath, it was on like a pillar. Yeah, the underneath was. It wasn't a flat surface at all. It was risen, you know, and we had to put the whole sleeve over that, and then it would. You know, go tack it in, and then you'd have to sew it in afterwards. But I thought it was quite special because this machine was cost a lot of money, and they'd brought it onto the shop floor. And I was on my own. I wasn't on the conveyor belt anymore. I had the machine on the side, you know, and I was handling then the whole of the jacket. I was handling the whole thing, you know, not just the main little product. It was the whole product. And And then, of course, as I say, it was threepence three farthings for every so many that you did. So if I was in front of myself, I could nip upstairs then, you know, and see, I can have a break, you know.
So these faff machines, I mean, how many of them were in the faff?
Oh, there weren't many. I think I was one of the first to have one. Yeah. And I think from there, perhaps they may have had a few more after that. But, of course, there were different sorts of machines. There was all sorts of machines, overlocking, and they were all industrial, big and fast, very fast machines.
Did that make you feel quite special then?
Yes, very, because I was sitting on my own like a throne, and I wasn't on the conveyor belt anymore. So it was good.
What about speak? Could you talk when you were on the conveyor belt?
Yes, to the person opposite.
Yeah. So did you mind sort of not, or could you still talk when you were on the machine?
Well, I could, yes, but it wasn't so convenient, and maybe that was better, really, because I was getting on with it better, you know.
Yeah. You said there was music playing.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you remember? Was it the radio or was it records?
No, it was the radio, and I think it was workers' playtime, yes. And the people used to send in requests and different things. And we all had our favourites, of course. And what we'd do was, if my friend was working down the other end of the factory and a record would come on that we liked, or a music, we'd both hold our hands up and wave to each other, you know, which is so seemed special to us. But we thought it was wonderful, you know, they're playing our music, you know. And it was good.
Did you used to request songs for people? Did you just say, I want this to be played?
Well, I never did personally, yeah. But some people did, obviously, yes. I didn't, though. If it came on and we liked it, and that was it, you know?
Yeah. Do you remember what the songs were?
Oh, gosh, it was... I know Frank Sinatra was one of my favourites, and then there was Billy Eckstine then, and Mac Monroe. Was Miss Mac Monroe out then? Nat King Cole, that's the one. Oh, there was a lot, and of course Jerry Lee Lewis, and it was, I can't remember all of them, because rock and roll had started to come in then. And it was Bill Haley and the Comets, and Elvis, of course. Yeah. And that was the age of the rock and roll, you know, so we loved that.
So did you all used to sing as well?
Yes, oh yes, all the time. Yeah, all the time.
Great. Do you know how many people worked in the factory when you were there?
I would say roughly, got to be about, over 1,000, 1,500, maybe more, even. Easily. Mostly girls, but of course the men had the more manual jobs. But all the machines were run all by girls, all by women. There were no men on the machines then, in those days. Mm. It was all women.
And so it was mostly women, was
yes.
it?
Yes.
And you said the men did the cutting and
the... cutting, and they were usually in the dispatches, and some were on presses, the big presses, which pressed the trousers and things. Because they were big, heavy presses. There were a few women on the presses as well, but there was mostly the men did it because they were quite manual, you know, to handle. But I never seen a man on the sewing machine there when I worked there. Only the mechanics, where they used to come and repair the machines, you know.
What was the relationship between the women and the men?
Good, very good. Oh, excellent, because we had fun, you know, and it was good, clean fun. If they knew you were getting married, which is in my case, the girls on your conveyor belt or on your section would back comb your hair, put all sugar soap in it, which is what they used for doing certain things, and all the chalk that they used for marking out the materials, scrape it all into your hair, and put you into a truck and roll you down into the men's department and leave you there. so that you couldn't get out. But the men used to help you out and they'd get you back to your machine, you know. But, it was good. It was a good relationship with the men and the women, I thought. Really good. We all got on wonderful. Well, that's where I met my husband.
Was there any harassment, you know, either way?
We used to have little things like happen. We used to always get a smell every now and again. And we'd say we did have a lot of rats there, because there was a bedding department as well, and the rats used to get into the bedding. And if this smell would take us over, we'd say, all out, and we'd all walk out the canteen. Because we were in the union then. And we'd stay out there until they'd sorted it, you know. And we did also have a plague of black bats. I don't know if you've ever known what they're like. But they're like cockroaches. And they would get in your bag. And they'd be in the material. They'd go into them because they liked the warm, you know, of the material. And, when you came across them, it was horrible, horrible. I even carried some home with me. We used to have a bucket bag. We used to call them bucket bags then, like a handbag, we'd call it now. And I remember going home, and some of my lunch was still left in my bag. And when I went in to reach it to take it out, there was these black bats and they all come out of my bag. I was screaming. And this was at home now, so I carried them all away from the factory, all the way home on the bus as well. But that was, they couldn't get rid of them. Obviously, they did try. It was just because they were attracted to the warmth of the material, because we sold a lot of Harris tweed and all that sort of thing, you know. Probably came in with the material, I expect.
Going back to the relationship between the men and the women, was there any teasing that went on between them?
I can't recall. No, there was one particular chap, and actually he's still alive today, and he was, what do they call it now, gay? But he flaunted it. He loved the fact that he was different. And he was the only one. And he used to come to us girls and say, "Shall we go down the pub on a Friday? Come on, girls, we're all girls together." And we took him in as, you know, he was... Actually, I invited him to my wedding because he was such a good sport, you know. But he took the teasing and he didn't mind it, and we accepted him as for what he was. Because in those days... It wasn't like now, when it's all out in the open and, you know, people quite open about it. Then it wasn't so much. But he didn't hide it, and he was quite proud of the fact that he was the way he was, you know.
What did he do in the factory? He wasn't on the machines?
No. He was in the dispatches, the packing department and packing things, you know, to go on to the lorries to be dispatched out.
How did the men treat him?
Okay, I think they accepted him for what he was. He lived in the valleys, and he was, you know, he was one of a big family. All his brothers were different to him, you know. So he was, I think he was accepted, really.
Yeah. But you didn't get any kind of sexual harassment between the men and the women, you know?
No, never.
People being a bit over...
No. Never, no. Actually never. I never experienced that. No, never. We used to have dances every month or so. And we all got together, you know, the men and the women. And I didn't find any, none of that at all, really.
Or teasing that went too far, that kind of thing.
No, I don't think there was, really. I never experienced this personally, anyway.
What kind of women worked in the factory? Were you all young, single, or were there married women?
We were a mixture, really, I think. There was a lot of us younger ones. And then there was a lot of married women also there, who had been there longer, obviously. And, we were a mixed bunch, I would say. Quite a mixed bunch, really. There was a bit of jealousy, like if so and so was your friend, you say, I'm going out with that boy, and oh, I wanted to go out with him and all that nonsense, but that was just, you know, a girly thing, really. No, there was no, it was okay. I thought women got on all right together. Even the married woman, I had a very good friend who was a lot older than me, and I went to be bridesmaid in her wedding. So I was only young then. We got on very well, you know.
What about women when they had children? Did they have to leave then when they had children, or did they come back?
Well, I think a lot of them went left and they came back because grandparents then, of course, took over. Because I think they needed the money, obviously. But a lot of people didn't. A lot of them didn't come back. Mind where they got married and they settled in other places. But no, I think a lot of them did come back. Well, I mean, I'm one that went back anyway after I got married, you know.
But presume there were no childcare facilities?
No, none whatsoever. No, none.
Yeah, yeah. So can I just ask you as well, because you said you were telling me how much you were paid. Were the men and the women, were the men paid more than the women?
Yes.
Do you know how much they were paid?
I will know. My husband tells me he got £6 to start. So, you see, he did a higher wage than I did. And there's only a year between us. I mean, he's a year older than I am. But he remembers being £6.
And what did he do?
He was in the dispatch. He was packing. He didn't do anything with the machines or anything. He was in the packing. But he left then to go to the RAF, yes. National Service, of course.
So really, you were doing a more skilled job?
I think so, yes, we were. But, of course, women weren't getting equal wages then at all.
No. Was that an issue in the factory?
Not at the time, but as time went on, when I got older, I think it started to become an issue. Later on, you know, when when they got married, they thought, well, why should my husband have more money than I, you know, this is it.
Yeah, especially if you were doing a very skilled job. So, were you given a pay rise every year, did you say then?
I think it was every year, but I'm not absolutely sure on that. I can't remember, you know, exactly.
Were there any perks of working in the factory?
Perks. Oh, we could go. Yes, we had. A showroom, where when these samples came back after being out to be shown to different firms, you could buy them, and if you could get hold of a sample, oh, you know, it was wonderful. Not so much for the women, but the men. Because my husband remembers getting a fantastic suit, and it was made perfection, you know, and you could buy it cheap.
Was there any was there a kind of shop there?
Well, it wouldn't say it's a shop exactly. It was like a bit of a showroom really, where they showed all these things to the buyers, and then of course when the buyers had decided what they wanted, these things were just left there, and you could go in and if you wanted, say, well, I'll have that, you know. I'd like to have that, and they would give you a price on it. And there was also bedding. You could buy bedding, which was the feather quilts then, and they were going quite cheap as well.
Were you aware of any pilfering going on as well?
Oh yes, that used to go on all the time. I mean, that was comical. I mean, I won't name many names, but there's one gentleman now, he lives in the Rhondda still, and it was so funny. He used to go in with shorts on or a thin pair of trousers and a pullover, and he'd come out fully dressed. He'd have two pairs of trousers on, a jacket, an overcoat, and he'd walk out with them. And that was, I remember that plain. Oh, yes, it did go on all the time, yes. Just to take stuff. I know this fella's now. He's still living up there now.
Did they used to check on people?
Oh, yes, they'd at random, yes. They'd pick on you at random, yes.
And if they found somebody doing that?
Well, I think it'd be instant dismissal, yes, it was. Because they didn't give you a second chance at that, you know. It was, that was it. Because, of course, they could get somebody else in to do the job, you know.
But he got away with it.
he got away with it personally. He did. And he tells us about it today, you know. Yeah, actually, he was best man in our wedding. And he was very well dressed.
So, the unions then. There were unions in your
family. Oh, yes, yeah.
Were you a member of the union?
Yes.
Do you remember which union it was?
No, then. Oh, I can't think of the name. No, I have a union card from when I worked later on in Christy Tyler's, but I don't know if it came under the same one. No, I can't think.
Was it the garment workers, maybe?
It may have been, because later on then I worked for the a different one altogether, a different union altogether. I'd have to go and get it.
I'll stop a minute. So you later went to Christy Tyler and you joined an union there as well. What was it called?
National Union of Furniture Trade Operatives.
Right. But going back to Polyakovs then, were there any disputes and strikes and things when you were at Polyakovs?
Nothing serious, no, not big strikes. We just have to have little disputes about if we're working conditions or if we didn't like anything, you know, they didn't agree to. But
do
no.
Do you remember any example?
Well, if they were trying to put a more bigger workload on us and expect more, because sometimes they would have a timey come and stand by the side of you and watch what how many you could do, you know, in an hour. And sometimes it's they expected you to do more than you could turn out without a break, you know. So we did have a bit of a dispute on that, and we did get our own way. Actually, we fought it, you know, and thought, you know, we knew how much we could produce, and they couldn't take it. They couldn't expect any more.
Was that a time and motions? Place?
Time and motions, yes.
And did they were they in the factory all the time?
Most of the time, but they'd go in different departments. Okay. So they'd come and stand by you and just watch you, you know, and see how much you could produce. And of course, not everybody could work as fast as the next person. So we did have a bit of a dispute on that.
So did you feel the union protected the weaker workers? If
yes, I think they did, yes. Yeah, I think they did.
So you got your own way. So do you remember what happened?
Well, we still had to have the time and motion, but we did have a say in how many we could produce. Of course, obviously, they expected more, but we stuck at our guns and we said, well, this is what we can do, and we couldn't possibly produce any more, you know. But they expected you then to cut down on your breaks, you see. So, you know, we had to be vigilant then put it that way. If we nipped upstairs and said, well, we better get back quick now because they're going to be timing us, you know.
You know the time and motions people, were they local people? Were they people?
I never knew them, no. I think they used to get them from somewhere else because no one ever knew who they really were and when they were going to come either. We didn't know.
So what was the relationship between you and them? Was there a bit of animosity, do you think?
Well, you didn't speak to them, really. I don't think you bothered. They just stood there with a time watch and a clipboard, of course, and you just got on with it and you didn't lift your head. Yeah. You know, you just didn't bother. And then they'd say, we'll be finished now, and they'd walk away.
But you think they were outsiders then?
I think so, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of them.
Were you ever a union rep?
I was at one point, yes. But, I mean, because I can talk a lot. and I always stuck up for the women. And I felt that, you know, we had a right to be there, you know. And I did speak up a few times, actually. But to no avail. I was just for my section, you know, and I would go and speak if somebody had a complaint or anything. I would go and speak for them. But that was about it, really. You know, I never got up on a pedestal or anything like that, or on stage and said anything. It's just, I went and had a word with the management, you know.
Did you enjoy doing that, being able to sort something out for somebody?
Yes, I did, because I felt assertive And it gave me a boost, really, you know, my morale. Yes, I did enjoy it, yeah, I did.
Did you find it easier to maybe talk for somebody else than but for yourself?
Yes, yes, and I've always been that way anyway. I can speak up for someone else.
Yeah. So, and this was in Polyakovsky?
Yes, right? Yes, was yes.
Did you get on with the supervisors and the managers?
Well, to a point. I mean, they weren't part of us, like, as a group. The supervisors always, when they went to canteen, they went and sat on their own, and we girls stuck to us, to our, you know. It was them and us then a bit, you know, because they were, well, cracking the whip, really, you know, making sure that you did your job and you walked up and down, less talking and all the rest of it, you know, you should get on with it.
Again, were they from the workforce or were they from
yes,
outside?
No, they were from the workforce. They were promoted, you know. And, of course, I think what I found is, because they asked me one time if I wanted to be a supervisor, but because you had the chopsy one, right, and you were the one who spoke for the girls, they would promote you to supervisor. So when you were a supervisor then, right, you were on the management side. So you weren't working then for the girls on the line. You had to, and I just turned it down. I said, no, thank you. I didn't want it. I'd rather stay where I was. But that's what they used to do. They'd promote the girls then onto a position of more importance so that they would be on their side, you know.
Divide and rule.
Yes, true, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So did you have to wear a new uniform for work?
No, just we used to all wear smocks. It was a smock apron, they called it then, right? With pockets for the fags. But no, it was just a smock, just to keep your top of you clean, really.
Did you provide those, or did the company provide?
No, we had to provide our own. And it was trousers, you know, mostly trousers.
Was that an issue?
No, we could suit ourselves, really. We could, you know, it was up to us. And no high heel shoes, of course, because if you were on a machine, you couldn't wear high heel shoes.
So, did you most of you wear trousers? Did you?
Yes, I think so. But they were only just coming into their own then, trousers, of course. They was wonderful. But before that, it was skirts, you know. And but not all of us wore trousers. We suited ourselves really, what we wore, you know. So. But I remember going to work with rollers in my hair. And it wasn't rollers as we know it now, right? They were cotton spools. The cardboard cotton spools. And we used to put them in and with a clip in. So we'd have our hair ready now with a scarf on our head, right? Because we were allowed to do that with a scarf over the top. Because it wasn't interfering with the work. So we'd be ready for the evening to go out when our hair would be all lovely to go out in the evening to the dance.
So did you all used to do that?
Yes, loads of us, loads.
So did you get the cotton spools from work?
Yes.
Right, and the pins? And
yes,
the
yeah, not the pins were ours, but oh, yeah. the cotton spools were theirs. And they were the cardboard ones, you know, the longish ones. So, that's before rollers were invented, look. Because I mean, before that, it was hair grips and wavers. They used to put a pinchy waver in. And but these cotton spools were wonderful, we thought, you know. It was given with a natural curl. And there was no hair sprays or anything like that. And it was, of course, sugar and water in a bottle.
Right.
Sugar and water sprayed on your hair.
Wonderful.
I know, Jess.
So what about the conditions then? Was the work dangerous in any way? You've talked a bit about needles and fingers and things. What do you think? I mean,
well, it was it was dangerous, I suppose, in that respect. I remember when a young girl, she was on a presser, and she pulled the press down, and of course, when you put your hand on the presser, you smooth the garment out with your hand, and you pull the top press down, and she hadn't pulled her hand out quick enough. And her fingers were stuck in there, and the top of her fingers came off, yes. They were stuck in the press, of course, because when it clamps down, it clamps, and you can't really sit. So And there's the tops of fingers came off. I've had the needle in my finger a few times, lots of times. You don't feel it actually go in at the time because you just go and pull it away. Because it rips then, it rips your fingernail off. But you'd go up, we had a nurse in the factory. We had a permanent nurse, there were two actually. And she'd dress it for you, and if it, she thought you needed to go to a hospital, then it wasn't A&E, then it was, you had to go to the hospital. She would advise, but usually it was got cleaned up and plastered, and you went back to work.
Straight away, on the same day?
Yes. Yeah.
What happened to this girl with her?
I don't exactly know, but it was quite horrific at the time, because apparently when they did take the press back up, the bits of fingers were still in there, you know? Yes, I know.
Did she come back to work?
She did come back eventually, yes, but on a different job, of course, different altogether.
Did she get any compensation?
I don't know, because I don't ever remember anyone having compensation in those days. I never actually heard of anyone having compensation for anything.
Yeah. So as an union rep, you didn't have to do
No, anything. I didn't, no, I didn't, no, I can't remember it.
Yeah. Were there rules and regulations, you know, were you aware of rules and regs in the factory that people had to adhere to, you know, to...
Well, not especially. Because we weren't allowed to go upstairs and have a cigarette. We weren't. Oh. But we did.
You weren't allowed to go to the toilet
and have a cigarette, no. Because
where were you supposed to smoke? Then?
Well, you could smoke in the canteen when you went to the lunch, or outside, of course.
Okay.
But we used to nip upstairs to the toilet to see. And the personnel officer, which is Mrs. Farmer, as I said in the beginning, she would come up, she would know, she'd have a purge on, and she'd come up and she'd say, I know you're up here, girls. Get back to work now. You know? And we'd all run in the toilets and shut the door. She knew we were in there. But everyone did it. Everyone smoked then, you know. But there were no other real clocking in and clocking out. You had to do that. You couldn't have anyone else do that for you. You had to put a clock card in to go in the morning, and a clock card to come out. But no other specific rules, really. I can't remember, no.
So nobody was ever disciplined for smoking in the toilet?
No, not that I can ever remember, no.
What about health and safety? Were you made aware of health and safety?
No. No, not at all.
Haven't been invented then?
No. If you weren't well, you went up to see the nurse, you know, and that was it.
Yeah. What about heating, lighting, that kind of thing? What was the lighting like?
It was fluorescent. It was all fluorescent.
So that was good?
Well, it was good for sewing, but, I mean, there were windows on the sides of the factory, but, of course, it was so big, you never got to see the windows, you know? It was under fluorescent lighting all of the time. And it was... Well, then I was young, of course, I didn't find it any different. The strain wasn't there. But... It's bound to have taken its toll in his time, I think.
Yeah.
Because you're looking down all of the time and these lights are bearing down on you. It was very hot in the factory, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they had to put whitewash on the windows to keep the sun from glaring in, because we had to have the lights on, you see, all day.
So was it ever too cold?
No. No, I can never remember it being cold. Not that cold, no.
So was the heat an issue? Was that ever a kind of walking out, issue?
Not in Powlikoff's, no. Later on in my other work job, I found it, yes, it was.
Right. What about facilities then? Were there good facilities? You know, you talked about the toilet and the canteen. Did you think they were good facilities?
Good. They were really good. A fair play, they were. I mean, in the morning, we'd have this break. We could have breakfast if we wanted it, eggs, whatever. And there was always tea, coffee, or some girls took their own in a flask. And lunchtime, there was always a cooked meal. and there were two canteens, and the other one was a little bit more upgraded, and you could go in there, and the manager of that canteen, he would say, if we'd run out of cigarettes, he would say, could we buy two cigarettes until Friday? And he'd let us have them on tick. But he was, you know, it was good. The facilities were good, yeah. All the food, I can't fault it. And they used to put on a little bit of entertainment for us as well sometimes at lunchtime. With the Duke of Edinburgh, visit there once as well.
All right. Or
when he was quite a young man, I think not long after probably got married. And that was a big day for us, you know. We came all around the canteen and everything. And, you know, the facilities were quite good, I thought, you know, as far as that's concerned. Toilets were always clean and spotless, so...
What about the price of the food? Was it reasonable?
Yes, yes.
Was it subsidised, do you think?
May have been subsidised with the firm, but it was quite reasonable. It was, you know, it was okay. But some girls took packed lunches anyway, you know. They didn't want the food, so...
Did everybody eat in the same canteen, or was there a kind of...
There was two canteens.
Right.
One was with the cooked food, and the other canteen then was for sort of snacks and soft drinks, yeah, and that sort of thing, you know.
But there wasn't a kind of... you weren't sort of... There wasn't... A manager place and a workers' place.
Oh, no, the managers, we don't know where they are yet, because we never saw them, very, very rare in the big canteen. But the big canteen was always full, you know, we were all being there together, and it was get-together time, like, you know, notice. It was good.
Was it a staggered lunch break? Or was
you could, I think it was, we had an hour, so you could have a sort of... 12 till 1, or then it was 1 till 2. But if you were working, going to work on it, because they used to have some, you could work on in the evening sometimes, work on late. The ones who did that went on the later lunch, you know.
Right. So you said the Duke of Edinburgh came there. Was that a royal visit?
Yes.
He was by himself, was he?
Yes, I mean, the Queen wasn't with him, yeah, no. Yeah. No, it was just him. And I don't know how, why, or whatever, why he came there. But it was quite a big day for us, you know, and we were all then in the canteen. He came through, and, you know, and that was it. Promotion for... I think maybe it has something to do with the contract we'd had for the government work, you know, the RAF uniforms and the army and things. So that could have been something to do with it, maybe, you know.
Do you remember when that was?
Gosh... Oh, I must have been... I had been there about 2 or 3 years then, perhaps. So, late 1950s, I would say.
Oh, right. So, after the... Yeah.
I would say the late 1950s, yeah.
Yeah. And do you remember any other dignitary or famous person coming to see you?
No, only the owner of Polycos himself.
Right.
Which was, a big Rolls Royce and, yes, Mr. Polycos. Yeah.
Yeah. Did he come very often, or was it?
He used to come occasionally, yes. You know, I would say twice a year, maybe, you know.
Where did he live, do you know?
I don't know. I didn't have a clue, no.
Right.
No.
Just a descendant, did he? Do you think there were any long-term effects, then, on your health from working in the factory, on your health particularly, you know?
Well... My legs, I found that my legs, where I've been on the sewing machine for so many years, my one leg is, I do suffer with it quite a bit, and I've got quite a lot of blue, you know, on my legs. So using the knee lift on the machine, you're sewing, but your knee lift lifts the foot of the machine, and I do suffer with that leg quite a bit. But that's the only effect, really. Of course, my eyesight, well, it's just been... I never had glasses in those days, so it was... I had good eyesight, you know, then.
Do you think it affected people's eyesight?
Could have, yes, because of the strain of the lights and looking down all of the time.
Yeah. You got married while you were there, you said.
Yes.
And did you stay on there?
I did, yes, yeah.
So when did you get married?
I've got it written down here. I got married in 1960. And then I stayed there till I was 1961.
Right.
And then I was pregnant then with my first child.
And your husband worked in Polyakov?
Yes, he worked there as well.
How did he feel about you continuing working?
He didn't mind because we worked in separate departments. But we used to get on the same bus every night to get home, to go home together.
Right. What did you say? You worked, how many days a week did you work?
5 days a week.
Were you ever asked to work on weekends?
Yes, Saturday mornings, usually.
Right. But so how many hours did you work a week then?
Well, if it's 8 hours a day, then I'd call it 8 hours, so you're not counting the break for dinner. That's 48, is it?
Not did you work 48 because you worked Saturday morning? As
yes,
well?
Because that wasn't compulsory, mine, Saturday morning.
Right.
If you wanted to work, you know.
So that was overtime?
Yeah, it was overtime.
Right. Were you paid the same rate or were you paid double time?
No, it wasn't double time. I think it was time and a half.
Time and a half.
Mm.
Could you work overtime in the evening as well?
Yes, you could if you wanted.
And was that time and a half?
I think that was time and a half as well, yes.
And were you ever asked to work on a Sunday?
No, never. Right. Never on a Sunday. I don't know about the men, but I know the women were never asked to work on a Sunday.
So did you used to do quite a bit of overtime?
Yes, when I could.
Yeah.
You know, it was some extra money, obviously,
yes.
You know.
Was that okay?
Yes. When it was okay in the beginning, when we, you know. But when I fell pregnant, of course, no, it wasn't. I didn't go for that option at all.
So did you work up to a certain many, you know, how many months did you work up to?
No, I left there when my first knew that I was pregnant.
Oh, right.
Yes. That was 1961. And I had the break then from there. And we lived in Astra then. And I did go to work with my aunt in a shop in Pontypridd for a couple of months.
Okay. Do you remember? Before we go there, I want to finish with Polly, of course. No, it's okay. It's just because I want to ask you about, first of all, ask you about holidays, right? Did you have paid annual holidays?
Not in the beginning,
right.
But we did after, because when I got married, I remember having a holiday pay.
Yeah.
And my husband and I then, when we, of course, we both worked in Polycross then, and we went to Peyton for our honeymoon. Because we had paid holiday, but we had to take our honeymoon in the holidays.
Which was?
In the end of July, beginning of August. Oh.
So when do you think you started having paid holidays then?
Gosh, it had to be 1958, 59, I would say, maybe. I wouldn't like to say, you know, specific date, but I think it was at the end of the 50s, more like 1960 perhaps, you know.
Right. And did you have bank holidays, though?
Only Easter. I don't think we had any time off for Whitsun. Christmas, of course. And I think there might have been one bank holiday besides. That was the August bank holiday. And that was it, really.
But they were paid holidays, yeah? They were paid days.
Yes.
Yeah. And can you remember, before you went on your honeymoon, can you remember going anywhere for holidays before then?
Yes, we used to love to come to Bathgall. I mean, as a family then, when I was younger, it was the grandparents, the aunties, the uncles, all of us. And Bathgall was our main place we used to come for holidays. Never went abroad or anything like that. There was no way. There was not accessible at all. But it was Bathgall mostly.
And was that then the miners' holiday, wasn't it?
Yes, the miners' holiday.
And when you came to Bathgall, did you used to see people from work in Bathgall?
Occasionally, not very often. Not everybody could afford that.
Right.
No, very rare. My husband said, he said, you were lucky. You could go to Puthcall. I never could afford to go to Puthcall, you see, so,
yes.
You know.
Right, the social life then. What were the social activities arranged by the workers? Were there social activities?
Yes, we used to have dances, organised. Fair play, it was very good. It was live music. No records, it was proper live music, and the dances were wonderful. And it was a very dressy up occasion. It was the evening dress, all the women went bananas for the. It was long dresses and the strappy shoes, you know, and we used to have that regular, we used to have once a month, I would say, or every 2 months. And it was really good.
Was that arranged by the workers then?
No, I think it was management. Management.
And was it paid for by the management, or did you?
We didn't pay anything. No, we just went to the dance, paid for a cloakroom, and with the drinks that were on offer there, which were soft drinks, then no alcohol at all, none at all.
And where did these dance?
In Polygos Canteen.
All right.
In the canteen itself, yeah.
And you used to have live bands, you said?
Yeah, live music.
Do you remember who they were?
I haven't got a clue. No, I don't. But it was good. It was really, really good, you know. And everybody danced then, you know, properly. And
so what kind of music was it?
Well, a bit of everything, really. It was waltzing and tangoing and all that. But there was a bit of the rock and roll and, you know, that started coming into it, and that was wonderful. Because we used to all wear the big underskirts, the 60s, of course, which going into the 60s. And it would be all the tulle underskirts and the taffeta skirts on top. And it was a 22 waist then. And that's where my husband and I got together first, yeah.
In one of these dances?
In one of the dances, yeah.
Great. Can you remember anything else? Were there kind of, were there Christmas parties, and where did you go for those?
No, we never had a Christmas party. What we did was, they'd have a shop floor thing, you know, everybody'd stop work at a certain time, and everybody'd mingle through everybody else's department. And you just sort of balloons and a bit of trimmings, and that was it. And in the canteen then, plus you'd have a proper Christmas lunch put on. You'd have to pay for it, of course. You wouldn't be free. But there was no party, you know, organised or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think later on in years, they did have a social club somewhere in Treorchy, which you could visit. And that was a building that you bought besides, you know. And we did visit there once or twice. But no, there was nothing else.
What about beauty competitions?
Well, that they used to have a regular thing. And, of course, they just choose you off the dance floor and say, would you go up onto the stage? We'd like you to enter this competition.
And what was the competition?
It was supposed to be Miss Polycoffs.
And did they have this? Was this an annual thing? Or
yes, it was quite every year or so they used to have this.
Right, and so, tell me about it.
Well, the first time I entered, I was put in to enter. I came second, I was a runner-up. And then the second year I entered, I came top. There's a photograph. Look. That's me there, look. And this is the lady who won it there. And this is... That's another one. And that's me there with the Lord Mayor of the Rhondda, who was presenting me with a massive box of chocolates. So we'd never had such a box of chocolates in our life.
So you won in this year?
Yes, that's the year.
Do you know what year that was?
Well, I was 18 then.
57
then, that's it. Because before that, I was 17.
So how many times did you win it?
Only once.
But you were the runner-up.
Yes, as well before that. Yes.
So did all the employees come to this?
Yes, it was an annual thing. It was all to do with everyone who worked in the factory, the men and the women. even if they were married, they'd come, and you know, and the young ones as well.
That's lovely. So, when was it held? Do you remember? Was it in the summer or Christmas time or?
I can't remember, to be honest with you. But you can see we're all in strappy things, so I could sure imagine it wasn't in the winter, I don't think.
Right. Lovely.
Because we'd all have to get buses home afterwards, so it was in the summer when it was like the lighter nights, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, what about trips? Did they organise trips from the factory?
No, I never went on a trip from the factory, never.
Oh, right, okay.
No. No, I can't ever remember there being one. No, I can't.
So how long did you work in Polyakovs?
Well, I worked there from, as I say, 1954 to 1961. So seven years? Seven, is it? Yes, seven.
And then you left because you were pregnant?
Yes.
But you went back to work in a factory when you were older, didn't you?
I went back. I married in 1960. Then I went back to work, factory work. Christy Tyler's Bridgend. Gosh, it must have been 1969.
Right.
1969, yes. When my youngest child then was three. He's just started school.
So, did you go back to work full time?
Yes.
And this was Christy Tyler's in Bridgend?
Yeah.
What did you do in Christy Tyler's?
I was a sewing machinist, making upholstery, three-piece suites.
And how did that compare with Polyakovs?
Oh, heavy, much heavier work, much, much heavier. The material, and it was a lot of lifting, you know. But that was piecework as well. And we were told we had to make a target, you know. We had to reach a target. And it was hard going, actually. That was really hard going. And we were there. That was, I think we were starting at 9 then. We had shorter hours anyway, I know. I think it was 9 till 4.
So where did you have to travel from to go to Christy Tyler?
Well, I was travelling from Porthcawl first to Bridgend. And then they moved the factory up into Talbot Green, Llantrith Centway. And, of course, I was travelling all the way up there as well.
So how did you get there?
Well, then it was a friend of a friend. It was a car. When I'd have a lift so far, and then someone else the rest of the way. And that's because we didn't have a car. And that's how I got there and got home. So it was quite a lot of travelling, and that's why I packed it in the end, because was interfering with my home, you know, and the children.
It would have been tough if you had to go by bus.
It would have been then, because when they moved us up to Talbot Green, it was you know, way out. Not a lot with the car, of course, but if you're travelling, as you say, to get to work and home, it's a lot. It took an hour each time, you know, out of my day. And of course, my children were in school and they were getting older, and I needed really to be at home, I think, then. But I worked there for 12 years.
Did you?
I went just to have a job to tide me over in the beginning, because we needed a lot of work done to the house and everything, and we needed some money. So they said they wanted a contract out in 3 months, and would I come and work for them for 3 months to get this contract through? And I ended up being there 12 years. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Did you enjoy the work there?
Well, the same sort of feeling as it was when I worked in the factory before. It was good. It was good, actually. You know, everybody got on, except for people were greedy. Some people were greedy, and there were certain materials you sold, right, which was easier than others, and everybody who wanted to sew that one, of course, you got more money for that certain suite than you did for another suite. And so everybody was grabbing, you know.
Why was that? Because it was easier, so the piecework was better.
Yes, and it was sort of, there were names of suites. They used to call them like the Belmoral and different names on the suites. And if you went for this particular suite, you could sew it quicker and get more done in a day. So you'd have, of course, you'd have more money, but everyone would be grabbing at the work to get it done. But we were turning out between 7 and 8 suites a day, sewing the complete suite. I was sewing the complete thing then, not just one part. It was the whole thing, the cushions, the backs, the arms, everything. It just had to be the whole thing, you know. So you were lifting, a lot of lifting. But we, you know, I did it, and it was okay, you know. The money was good. The money was excellent.
I was going to ask you, how much were you paid now then when you went to Christy Tyler?
Well, I can remember bringing home a wage packet then, and then my wages were higher than my husband's. And I was bringing home over £100 then. I've been talking about £120, £140 a week.
When you finished?
When I was finishing, yeah. That's how much it was then.
Yeah.
And that was really good money then. You had to work for it, mind.
Are we talking about 1980 here? Are we something like
that? No, we're talking, let me see now. Oh, I went back to work. My boy was only 70, call it 1970 then. Yeah, up until I finished, that's right, you were at 1982, of course.
Do you remember how much you were paid when you went to work there, in the kind of 69, 70?
I think the money was good then, mind, you know, but it, of course it went up. But it was, sometimes, as I said, bringing more money than my husband was bringing home, you know. But it was hard graft, mind, it was really hard work.
Do you think they were good employers?
They were, to an extent, yes. They were quite good, really. There were facilities there, the canteen and all of that, you know. They never give us any uniform or anything to wear. We had to provide our own, the same. But as I say, it was grueling work, really. You know, it was just head down and away to go. As soon as you go in the morning, you put your machine on, and that was it, like, you know, until you finished at 4 o'clock.
So you were a member of the union there, were you?
Yes, yeah.
Do you remember any disputes at Christy Tyler's?
Well, not big ones. Not really big ones. The men had more disputes than the women, I think, then. I never remember walking out or anything like that, no.
Were you a union official there?
No, I didn't have the time.
Too busy working.
And the family, of course.
Yes. What about Polyakovs? I forgot to ask you this, but do you think they were good employers when you worked there?
I think they were, to be honest with you. I think, well, the workforce was there for a start. I mean, they had all the valleys, really, and people used to travel to get there. So, you know, I think they were good. They were good to work for, really. I can't really say there was anything that I could really pick out and say, only for the sake of the rats or the black bats, and that's about it, really. They were good, yeah.
You know, you made a lot of friends in Polyakovs, well, both places, I'm sure.
Mm.
Have you kept in touch with people from work?
Some, yes. We go and visit a friend up in the Rhondda still. A lot of them I've gone, of course. Some have died. I'm younger than myself. But my husband does. My husband, I've seen a few friends, you know, and from where he worked. My husband passed his driving test there in Polyakovs. That's where he learned to drive, one of the lorries. And I'll tell you a little tale about that, if I can. We got engaged in Polyakovs, my husband and I. And I used to sometimes go out on the loading bay, because that's where his lorry used to come in to be loaded up, and to eat my lunch. And unbeknown to me, I didn't know, when I got back into the factory, my engagement ring had come off and I'd lost it, and I didn't know where it was. And I was really frightened to tell Peter that I had lost it. Anyway, 2 days later, the lorry driver came back to the factory, one of these lorry drivers, and he says, "Has anybody lost an engagement ring?" And of course I said, "Yes, I have." He said, I'd just been all the way up to Birmingham, he said, and asked all the girls up there, and they said it wasn't theirs. And he'd come all the way back down to Treorchy in the Rhondda, and it was my engagement ring, and it was in the turn-up of his trousers. But I don't know how we got in there. I don't know. I don't know how we got in there, but we used to sit out there, see, and plus he was passing, it came off my finger, and it, but I had it back. After all that journey, look, you wouldn't believe it, would you?
No. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But see, that people were honest then as well. There was no, you know, he knew it was one of the girls off, the, off one of the loading bays somewhere, and he brought it all right back.
Amazing.
And,
what was the feeling, you think, with all the women in the factory? Was there a good camaraderie?
I think so, yes, definite. Definitely.
And was it something you missed when you...
I did miss it. And I think because, you know, you've a sense of belonging, really. And, you know, in those days it was like, you know, the dances and, you know, and say, oh, you're going so-and-so tonight. And, yeah, we all got on great. There was only the odd one you were there that you, you know, wouldn't get on with. But that happens anyway. But, no, we all got on really good, you know, good together.
What about Christy Tyler? Did you still socialise?
Yes, I did. Yeah, yes. Did
yeah,
there.
Were...
We didn't have dances or anything like that then, and we didn't have any outings or anything. But we all knew each other. I meet some of those ladies now, actually. I met one in town here the other day, and Shirley and him was, and she said, oh, how's it going, Nita? You know, and I said, oh, it's good to see you. You know, I haven't seen her for ages. But we used to work one behind, she used to work right behind me. We were on a conveyor belt that way then. Instead of facing each other, she was behind me, and it was just, so we couldn't talk, obviously. You know, but yeah, it was good.
Yes. So are you in touch? I mean, you say you bumped into her, but are you in touch with?
Not on the phone or anything, but we see each other occasionally. Yeah. You know, everybody's getting on with their life.
Yeah. How do you feel now? You know, looking back at the time you spent working in these factories, what do you feel about it?
I'm glad I done it. I really am. At the time, I thought it was an important job. I mean, now, at my age now, I feel like, well, I haven't really achieved anything big in my life, you know, but I suppose I did contribute. I contributed to the, well, to the country, really. I was a manufacturer. I think that at that time, you know, manufacturing was important, I think, in this country, because it was produced here. So I do look upon it like that. But I wish I'd been something bigger, obviously. I think we all wish for that, don't we, you know? Something in a higher position, I think. But no, I was quite happy then. And I look back and I think, it were good times. We had fun. We had great fun, actually, you know? We used to get up to some antics. It's your phone. All right. We used to get up to some antics, mind. I mean, I could tell you lots of things. You know, you were plus not it's not feasible for this, but we used to do silly things, you know. But it was good. It was good fun and good clean fun. There was no dirtiness about it or nothing like that. It was good, good clean fun. Yeah, it was good.
Sorry.
No.
Okay.
Well, in Polycos especially, because we were on the conveyor belt, and if the girls would say, oh, let's do something devilish, right? When we go back in now from the canteen, we all put our foot down on the treadle now, right, of the machine, fast down to the floor, and then switch on at the mains, which was at the end of the conveyor belt, so switch on. So we all had our feet down now on the pedal. So when you switch the mains on, every machine blew. Every single machine blew, right? Not one of them would work. And then we'd switch it back on quickly and shout, everybody's hand would go up there and say, mechanic, 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 we all want a mechanic. So we'd bring all the mechanics out, what's the problem, what's the problem? All the machines have blown. But we'd have done it on purpose. We'd have done it on purpose so we could have an extra break. Was it was terrible things, but that was just, I mean, you know, it was one of those things that we did, and they got they got on to us at the end. Right? They knew what we were doing it. So we couldn't get away with it any longer then, you know. So,
was that in Polygoffs?
In Polygoffs, yes.
Well, were you disciplined for that?
Not really, no. They just come over and give us a telling off. Don't do that again, girls. You're costing the firm a lot of money and blah, 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 you know. But that was it. And, you know, we got away with it, really. But they knew they couldn't sack us all because they would have had a whole, 20-odd girls on one conveyor. They couldn't sack us all at one time. So we knew we could get away with it, you know. It was good. There you go.
Hang on.
When I worked in Polygoffs and we were doing the RAF uniforms, because it was heavy material and that, and of course no one had a phone at home in those days, no mobiles or nothing like that, all us girls used to write our name and address and put it in a pocket in the jacket of the RAF uniform. So when they got sent to wherever they got sent, we would hope the person wearing that uniform would write to us. But I never had a letter, so no one ever replied to my letter. But we all did it, because there was a contact, and we thought, oh, where would this end up, this jacket now, you know? But I never got an answer to one of mine, anyway.
Do you know of any of them that did?
No, I can't remember, no. Unless they searched them all before they went out to the factory floor. Because possible. There you go.